Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 113 of the Savage and Christ Sports Podcast. Here for you again, another Wednesday night, 7:21 p.m. Unfortunately, a Patriots loss to talk to for the good majority of the show is, you know, it's football season. That's what the shows are looking so far until we get into hockey season. But we got some basketball and hockey related moments of the week to start. But before we get to all that, Ryan, how are we doing on another wonderful Wednesday night?
I'm doing good. It's a Patriots loss, as you mentioned. We probably could have saw coming. I think you and I both did see coming when we did our predictions a week ago. But a bigger loss during the game that neither one of us, I mean, maybe you and I think I maybe might have predicted this at the start of the season, that Mac Jones didn't even make it, what, 3 weeks into the year before he got broken, thanks to his offensive line and the play calling and all that fun stuff. But that was not an enjoyable situation on Sunday, not an enjoyable situation for the Celtics, as we rudely had some pretty big news break on them, what, a day after we got done recording episode 112. The Bruins are looking kind of some positives there. There's some standout guys from camp that I'm sure you're going to get to. So other than that, that's kind of maybe the one true positive thing we have to talk about tonight. But as always, I'm doing pretty good.
Lovely, lovely. But yeah, moments of the week. Mine's quick. LeBron James still stupid. Talks about how much he hates Boston, yet owns a team in Boston, or part owns the team. So that's about it. Really stupid. LeBron James, not a shocker. Mm-hmm. I figured we'll go to yours after, and then I'll do the quick Bruins notes that we've been doing in moments of the week, just to keep the basketball stuff aligned a little bit.
Okay. The LeBron James stuff, real quick, my two cents. Kind of strange, because I watched a video with him today where he was asked a bunch of questions just for like a media thing, because I think the Lakers media day was either today or yesterday. He was asked, you know, either favorite city to play against or favorite team to play against, and he said Boston. So I can't tell if he hates the Celtics. And then again, he's part owner of the Red Sox, who happened to play in Boston. So, like, again, maybe the Red Sox should get out in front and be like, hey, you can't be saying you hate the fans of Boston and hate the city of Boston when you are a part owner of the Boston Red Sox. But it's LeBron. I mean, he's a strange human being.
Yeah,
I don't know, weird situation. But like you said,
the mid from Akron. The typo.
I did not see the typo.
He put out hashtag the kid from Akron, but
oh, and he said the mid.
Said the mid from Akron at first and deleted it. So, and with mid being such a popular term to describe things these days, it blew up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I bet it did. I think I saw the other day too. He also said Saquon was back during that Monday Night Football game, and then the Giants lost. So there's some people getting on him for that too, but.
Classic.
I mean, when you're LeBron, like, you can't harp on the guy too much with the career he has had. Yeah. Sticking with the basketball stuff, though, as you mentioned, try to get through this as quickly as possible, because it is old news at this point. I'm sure everybody knows it. Obviously, the breaking news is the Celtics will be without Ime Udoka, their head coach, this season. And this is kind of my big takeaway and just how the situation has spiraled. And a lot of people are, you know, walking back on what they said about Ime Udoka when this first came out, and just the whole situation. That's kind of what I want to get your thoughts on, because it's been a crazy last couple of days for the Celtics. The initial report, of course, was that Ime Udoka was taking part in a consensual relationship with a female staff member. The big thing now, that consensual relationship kind of terminology, this was discussed on Phil Ramazzi the day. I went back and looked, and they were right. It's kind of been taken out, it's pretty much been taken out of every headline. And now the thing is an intimate relationship, or, you know, I think I saw some things say that, you know, he made passes at female coworkers. I don't know if you had any just thoughts before I jump into mine on the whole Udoka situation, if you were fine with the year-long suspension, knowing now what we know, obviously, when that Woj bomb dropped at, what, Thursday night, right around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, everyone was kind of like, well, what the hell did he do to deserve a potential one-year suspension, which what it ended up being. There were some people that thought there was going to be a fine or should have been a fine coming, and now that we kind of know a little bit more, of course, not all the details, it looks like it's a pretty bad situation. I'm sure you've seen the Matt Barnes video saying that, you know, like, it's deep, it's messy, it's 100 times uglier than people thought it was originally. So for me, I think a year-long suspension and probably a fireable offense coming up is what I think is what's staring Ime Udoka down.
Yeah, I remember just like the first stuff that came out, it was like, oh, why is he getting a suspension for a consensual thing? But it seems more and more with time that that's not necessarily the whole story. So, you know, this just, it makes more sense that it's a year-long suspension at this point. There was reports out there that they had known for this for some time, like I think like a month or two before.
Yeah, it was during the summertime. Yep.
So I imagine there's been a lot of fact finding since then, and maybe this got out sooner than they had hoped. Maybe this was on time. I don't know. It's not my place to speculate, but it is just a crazy situation, and one I don't think Ime Udoka ever comes back to coach the Celtics from.
Like, I don't see how he can.
Yeah, no, it's just, it'd be way too awkward, to be way too much of like a storm cloud over the head of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you said. The big thing too, obviously, you go back to the consensual relationship stuff. And even I don't know how much you watched the Stevens and Wick press conference on that Friday when they discussed it. And, you know, they kind of obviously couldn't say much, but I thought the big thing, like you mentioned, is it had been going on for a while and it seemed like the Celtics had knew. And I think Wick was the one that said it, that, you know, the first report had come to them, and like he said, sometime in the summertime, didn't specify. But then they said, obviously, they brought in an outside law firm to kind of break the whole thing down and try to figure out where they could go from there. Like, that to me is pretty telling, that like, you just don't bring an outside firm in, or an outside, however you want to describe it. If it's just a minor in-house, like you said, a consensual thing, like I said, with the Matt Barnes thing, it seems to run deeper. You're probably never going to get the full details again, cause that's just for the personal standpoint for people. The whole situation was just a complete shit show, from that dropping the Woj bomb, and then really backing nothing up with it. He had that tweet and then just kind of disappeared. And everyone was like, well, what the hell's going on? How do you have a one game or one season suspension off of what information? And then you had the Celtics kind of wait until the next day to even put a statement out to see what happened. You have obviously Ime Udoka at the head of it. You have all the people on Twitter that I'm glad Brad Stevens kind of called out and was like, it's pretty disgusting what people are doing, trying to pick and choose which Celtic female worker it would have been. Like, again, that's nobody's information, or nobody's, you know, place to speculate on that, but that's what Twitter is. So the whole situation has just been, again, one giant shitstorm when it comes to the timing too, with Media Day being right around the corner. It was this previous Monday. I don't know if you caught any of the Celtics players, and they discussed it, couldn't really give anything out on it, which, yeah, like, again, fine with, because it's nobody's place to speculate, and, you know, you're not going to get the full thing, but just a really, really horrible situation, it looks like. Tier five when it comes to just the stupidity of it from Ime Udoka, because like, this has been discussed a couple of times, that the guy pretty much had like the world by the balls, it seemed like, was the head coach of a well-established organization, had a top 10 superstar player. You were 2 wins away from the NBA championship last year, and now you go and do something as stupid as what this even could be, again, because we don't know the whole details of it. Like, you legitimately threw your career and arguably your life away with the running around crap that you've been doing. And then you had the TMZ reports and stuff too. The Entertainment Tonight reports from Kevin Frazier that it was an affair with a travel worker or something with the Celtics, who was also continuing to work with Nia Long on her move to Boston, was the report. So there was that whole thing. The other report was multiple sources confirmed Celtics female staffer affair with Celtics head coach Ime Udoka was uncovered by her husband when he overheard a private conversation in a home doorbell camera. So like, it seems like every day, every week, there's some new little trinket of this story coming out, and it's just not looking any better, and it's probably not going to, because of how deep and how bad of a situation it looks like it might be.
Yeah, I think you sum things up pretty well, but now we just got to see what Joe Mazzulla and or a former Celtics assistant they're trying to pry back from the Clippers can do with this team. So yeah, but it's like at a point now where like, things have developed so much where it's just not really our place to speculate, because things have come out that it's just like, you know, it is what it is at this point. They're gonna find out what they need to find out and get this sorted out, hopefully in a non super chaotic fashion, because the chaos when this first came out was pretty
insane,
ridiculous. Yep. Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know. It's messy, though. There's no doubt about that. So,
as expected with something like that, like, it's,
yeah,
it's insanity.
It was the biggest story in sports for a couple of days. Yeah, but hopefully things can get resolved and, you know, some good can come out of this, if that's even possible. Like, just a resolution that isn't super disturbing or anything. But it doesn't seem that way. It seems like it might be pretty deep and potentially disturbing. So Bruins notes, like we've been doing the past couple weeks, don't worry, we'll have more dedicated Bruins segments once they get the regular season going, and like our season preview and stuff. But just some notes and moments of the week here. They lost to the Flyers on Friday in the preseason. I didn't catch any of the games, so I can't really say much. But Jakub Lauko scored, which is nice. He got like a non-contact injury a little bit after that, I think, in practice. But he was back, no non-contact jersey today. So that's good. Nothing long-term. A guy that's been beaten by injuries early in his career. So that's nice. Jim Montgomery's been impressed with Jakub Zboril on both sides of the blue line, which is nice. Guy that was praised for looking, you know, strong and pretty built after an ACL injury. Is impressing Montgomery no matter what side he plays. He was with Derek Forward today. He's been with different linemates throughout camp. The last 2 days, we've seen Hall, Krejci, and Pastrnak together, so that's nice. It looks like in Saturday's preseason game, we're going to see Zacha, Bergeron, DeBrusk, Hall, Krejci, Pastrnak, so get our first look at the temporary top six until Brad Marchand comes back. Just a couple thoughts from the game last night. I thought Lindholm and Strahlman, the top pair, looked good. I think Strahlman, like, is not a no-doubter to sign here, but, like, wouldn't be opposed to them signing him cheap for a year. But they looked good. They got some praise from Montgomery as well. I thought Luke Toporowski looked really good, number 83 last night. He's, like, a little undersized forward, but he was, you know, he had a couple good scoring chances. He was all over the place, especially in the first half of the game. I was really impressed with him, but I believe he was one of the cuts that got sent down to Providence, as expected. AJ Greer stole the show in this one, though. He had a couple goals, including the overtime winner. The guy we talked about after they signed him as a guy that's going to be pushing Trent Frederick, and now he is. He's on the Coyle and Smith line at practice today. Trent Frederick bumped down, I believe, with Sudnika and McLaughlin. So a guy that was expected by us to put some heat on Frederick's neck is seemingly doing so, because I don't really think Frederick did a whole lot last night. He's on the top, de facto top line with a young group, with his buddies Coyle and Smith, and didn't really do a whole lot. So Greer earned the territory, and Montgomery said, you know, if the season started today, Greer would be in the lineup. So that's a good sign for him. Jeff Sanika had flashes. You know, he said he had a conversation with Montgomery after the Philly game and wanted to, you know, improve on, you know, some small things he can improve on from the Philly game last night against the Rangers, and he did so. So that was good. Oscar Steen scored on the power play from Yuna Koponen on the penalty kill. Did I say the power play at first?
I think I said the penalty kill.
But penalty kill. Short-handed further ball. Reinforcing, you know, for like a year or so now that I want him on the NHL roster on the penalty kill. So please do that. But yeah, that's really it. I don't know. Did you catch much of the game last night?
I missed both working? Games. I was working, yeah, the other day, so I couldn't catch that one. And then I completely forgot. You told me Saturday they had a game, and I just zoned out when I got home.
Yeah, AJ Greer is becoming the – he's going to become the new poster child of, like, oh, we need toughness. AJ Greer needs to be in the lineup, which is fine. But, like, the Bruins fans will always find some guy to lean on and be like, oh, put him in the lineup. We need somebody that can fight, that can hit.
Which he is, said you know, he – his what was his play style is like Lucic or something I saw on Twitter today, so that's gonna get he knows fans to, riled up and ready for him to, yeah, stir the pot a little bit, just to be like, hey, if the fans want me in the lineup, like, put me out there. Like, he's, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen any games, I've only just seen what people have said on Twitter, and he seems to be a, like you have in the outline, a standout so far. So if he's producing and he's doing something good things night in and night out, like, I don't,
yeah,
this isn't a guy I'm gonna hate to see in there. If he, if he's out there and he's just kind of skating around and isn't doing anything, then like, No, yeah, get him out of there. But
he's a win-win guy. He was a stud AHL producer last year, just about over a point per game, I believe. And if he plays in the NHL, that's fine too. So it's really a win-win, because he's more likely than not going to be really good in the AHL if he ends up down there. So he made a good first impression with, like, his first big performance. I mean, I don't know if you can do much better in a preseason game than a goal in regulation and an OT winner, but he did. So, I mean, he made a really good first impression, and he's off to a good start to, you know, establishing himself, a guy that's been trying to find himself ever since he came into the league. It was funny to see him and Tenorti going after it. You know, he was throwing the body around a lot. He was going at it with Tenorti. I believe it was at the end of the second or third. Yeah, it might have been the third, but I think it was the second. They're going at it. He drops the gloves immediately when he's provoked. And this goes back. I saw it today on Twitter. They had a pretty vicious fight recently in the AHL, so apparently Greer and Tenorti have some history, so that was pretty funny. But yeah, he was all over the place. He played really well, so good to see that from AJ Greer. Jeremy Swayman was in net, didn't have a great night, but like first goal, a snipe from Adam Fox, the other one kind of squeaked through him. So like it's a preseason game, whatever. He'll tighten those things up. But overall, pretty pleased with how things are going. And we're one day closer to the NHL season. That's really the territory we've been in for a while, just waiting and waiting and waiting. So for anybody hoping for more Bruins talk, it'll come in the future. Don't worry. But we just got training camp and like roster battle notes and stuff like that for now. So other than that, no one else, like, not to say any, but everybody like played bad, but nobody else really like jumped off the page to me. Charlie Coyle almost had like a prime Charlie Coyle goal at one point. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't like a ton that really jumped off the page to me, just those guys I mentioned. So that's fine. But just some recent notes that came out via like training camp cuts and stuff. Bruins sent the following players to Providence: Joey Abate, Sam Asselin, Francois Brassard, Justin Brazeau, Brandon Bussey, Josiah Didier, JD Greenway, Curtis Hall, Georgi Mikulov, Luke Toporowski, Eddie Trailmax, who's injured for the next like 4 weeks, Alex Olivier Voyer, Jacob Wilson, all going to Providence, with Matthew, second round pick Matthew Poitras going to the OHL to play for the Guelph Storm again. So we got some roster trimming down going on, and ahead of the next preseason game against Philly again on Saturday at the Garden, then two road games, one on Monday against New Jersey and one on Wednesday against the Rangers. So for anybody who wants to watch the Bruins hockey, there you go. That is going to almost round out the preseason. There's one more after that, but just talking games leading up to next show. But the Bruins, we're getting closer and closer. Fun preseason overtime win last night. No real complaints. But I think that's going to wrap it up for some quick Bruins talk. Unfortunately, the positivity isn't going to stick around.
It ends now.
It was there were some moments. There were good things in this game. And, you know, in at really unfortunate times, there were bad things, mainly relating to Mac Jones, but not completely Mac Jones. But yeah, let's get into it.
We started off with studs and duds as usual, and then we'll just kind of jump into overall game thoughts. All right, I'll start with my studs then. I took a quick pivot. I called the lateral here because I noticed we had the same three studs. I went back and forth with this guy as my honorable mention, but like I said, because we had the previously the same three, I'm going to switch it up and go with Ramondre Stevenson as my number three stud. Looking at it right now is interesting. Played 41 snaps, 62% for the offensive snaps. Damian Harris only played 25, and maybe rightfully so, because Ramondre Stevenson had the better of the 2 days. I know Harris had a solid day as well. But Stevenson was excellent. 12 rushes, 73 yards, rushed for, you know, six yards on average, had a touchdown, was involved in the passing game as well. 4 receptions, 5 targets, and 28 yards there. He had an 11-yard catch as well. Thought Stevenson played really well in this game. And again, it's interesting that, you know, the talk of the offseason was, you know, Damian Harris, is he a trade asset? Because you have Ramondre Stevenson. And I saw a lot of people talk about, you know, maybe halfway through the season, Stevenson takes over the starting role. Maybe you saw that start to take place in this game, because like I said, 41 snaps to Damian Harris is 25. Like that number is usually not as jarring as that is, and as separated as it is. So maybe the first time we see Ramondre Stevenson kind of set himself up as the RB1 in New England. He, like I said, was excellent all game.
Yeah, and I feel like we barely saw Damian Harris.
Towards the end of the game, I feel like he wasn't out there at all. I mean, I know they were passing the ball a ton, so you're not going to use the running backs, but like it was mainly Stevenson out there, I think, for the majority of maybe even the second half, because you're right, I don't remember seeing a ton of Damian Harris after the rushing touchdown he had, or outside of it, rather.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I feel like if you were to – I don't remember for sure, but I feel like we didn't see like Harris on the field once in the first half. It was really strange.
Yeah, maybe it was the opposite. I might have had it backwards, but
one of us has it backwards, but
yeah.
I don't know who it is.
You're number three stud as we run through it, though, unless you had anything else to add on Stevenson.
No, I thought he was pretty good. He was the steady Eddie in the running game, and he took advantage. So love to see that.
Yep, that works.
My number three stud was Jonathan Jones. Sneakily one of the best corners in the league, apparently.
This season, yeah, the stat you sent me was a Pro Football Focus, Adam.
Yeah, he's the highest graded quarterback in the league, and I wouldn't have guessed that. So
either.
That's pretty good. He's got an 85.6 rating. He's really good. just showed up in this game when they needed him to. Definitely his best game so far since returning from injury. 4 tackles, interception, forced fumble, and a pass deflection. Nice to see him show up and play a pretty solid game and make some highlight plays. So Jonathan Jones, number 3 for me.
That's why I have him as my number 2. I'll just add on to that. The coverage stats was 1 for 2, 35 yards allowed. I think that 35-yarder was on the Bateman catch, but obviously ran him down. And great play to go after the ball. I know it was a bang-bang play. Maybe in one replay it looked like he might have got him up high. A great play, like I said, going after the football. And then the day where the defense kind of fell apart late, I don't know how much we put that on the offense. I mean, you have to assume it's on the offense turning the ball over and defense happened to go right back out there. So not a great day for the defense when you give up 37 points, but Jonathan Jones was a standout guy play after play, it seemed like you mentioned.
Yeah, he was really good. I'd say arguably the best player in the secondary. So,
all right. To your number 2 then.
To my number 2. My number 2 stud is Dietrich Wise. I mean, 3 games in a row, 3 big performances. Showing why he's a defensive captain, 6 tackles, 3 sacks. 4 tackles for loss and 3 QB hits. He was just all over the stat sheet. Just
an absolute he's a madman. Yeah, again, that's why I have him as my number 1. Very similar here. Again, tough day for the defense. Wise was a standout. Could have had Judon. I thought he played another good game as well. Maybe there was, you know, a fire under his ass playing Baltimore. You know, maybe a revenge game from him. But Dietrich Wise, like you said, was the clear standout guy. The 3 sacks we talked about, you're going to have to try to contain Lamar Jackson as best as you could. And Wise, especially early on in the game, again, I know everybody kind of faltered late again because I think that was the defense was just exhausted out there. But Wise, a really strong start to the day. Was one of the most consistent guys out there.
Yeah, he was awesome. Just an absolute beast.
All right, this is the guy I had as my 3. You have him as your 1. Again, if you watch the game, pretty obvious one, but your number 1 stud was
Devontae Parker, because they needed a big game from him and unfortunately didn't lead to a win. But they got that big game from him, and it really inspires confidence. A secondary, you know, that has potential at full health, but a secondary is a little banged up and, you know, in some areas. And still, I feel like waiting for Kyle Hamilton to show up on a consistent basis. I feel like he hasn't been like a stud right out of the gate. He's had some moments, though, these first 3 weeks. They took advantage. They found ways to get Devontae Parker open, something we harped on a lot last year or last week. And yeah, he was huge, over 150 yards. That's quite the way to show up after a really frustrating first couple weeks.
Absolutely. There's still something
he didn't get in the end zone. But
like, they tried to, and he ran the wrong route and cost Mac Jones a pick. Like that's maybe that's the reason I was able to take him off my studs, just because that one play. But like you said, great game. I found it interesting. The first pass of the game to him was kind of a slant over the middle, and even the broadcast crew was like, "Oh, that's a play the Patriots usually run with Jacoby Myers, but he's out." It's like, you and I mentioned that last week. Maybe you change up the wide receiver looks if Myers could have played. And maybe I think you were the one that said it. Maybe you give Devontae Parker some of those reps you would have given Jacoby Myers and different routes and stuff like that. So good that they saw that they did that. Obviously, they still tried to hit the home run pass a couple times. I think they were like 1 for 2, 1 for 3 on it. So it is improving a little bit. Now there's probably going to be a step back with no Mac Jones and probably having to go to Brian Hoyer, but we'll see as time will tell. On the dud side of things, the more interesting is the guys we will nitpick here. My number 3, again, maybe nitpicking, I have Nelson Agholor, 2 receptions, 3 targets, 41 yards. Did have the big costly fumble as the Patriots were driving. Just for me, you know, we talked so highly of Agholor last season. I think we both said, you know, maybe a breakout game for him, his best game as a Patriot as a whole. Now this week, 2 catches and just 3 targets. And again, the big fumble. He's had two huge fumbles in 3 weeks so far. That's not a recipe for success. Would have liked a little bit more out of Agholor after the big game. And now he's kind of back where he was 2 weeks ago, where it's like, all right, Nelson Agholor puts one good performance together and then kind of disappears for the next 2 or 3. So kind of frustrating day for him as a whole.
Yeah. I agree. It's just not good. Spoiler alert. He's my number 1 dud. It's just not good for the narrative that, you know, he has bad hands. He's not helping himself. And it came at such a bad time. Don't love it. As you texted me during the game, Devin McCourty looked really slow for I feel like the first time I could ever say it like at this level. He had 8 tackles, but I don't know. This is kind of a weird one, but I'm putting him as my number 3 dud. He just he didn't look like himself. That's really it.
I have him as my 2 for that reason. Yeah.
He I don't know what was up. He just didn't look like himself. There's not like a ton to really harp on him for. Like too aggressively, but he just looked a step behind. That's really it.
Yeah, the one thing, I mean, it's two totally different players. It's two different play styles. And again, like, I don't want to harp on with you. I don't want to harp on McCourty too much, but, you know, I hope we're not taking a Dante Hightower route where Hightower kind of, I know I'm just, I, because that's what I mean. You've never seen Devin McCourty look this bad and this slow as he did in the game. Like you said, eight tackles, didn't do anything in the, really in the defense. A couple times got lost on plays, was running by guys, missed a couple of tackles, gave up. I mean, when's the last time you saw Devin McCourty get mossed? Like, that never happens.
Yeah.
And Mark Andrews just, I mean, he's headbutting him, trying to knock the ball out. And it's just a bad look for McCourty. Like you said, it's as, and like I texted you, it's as sluggish and as slow as he's ever looked. So you hope it's a 1 week. Again, Baltimore's offense is so fast and Lamar Jackson's just such a tough guy to cover. You hope it's just that. And it's, like I said, not what I mentioned and you rightfully stopped me, but who knows? Again, when it's such a great player and you have such an uncharacteristic performance, I got to put him in the duds list because it was just jarring to see how bad he looked.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Yeah, and it hurts because I like Devin McCourty. He's a great player for them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I feel like it's not, but like it is probably to some people. But my number two does Mac Jones.
Very confusing day for him.
Played pretty good for the most part, but like the three picks were all bad in different ways. Like the Peters one practically threw right to him. Yep. Like he was the intended target. The Humphrey one was just a ball he didn't need to air out.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the last one? I'm trying to remember.
There was the Parker one in the back of the end zone.
No, that was the second one, wasn't it?
No, I think that's right. Yes, the second one was Parker. The third one was the one he got injured on, because that was the last play of the game for the Patriots.
Yeah, the end zone pick was bad. I just don't think he needed to do it. I think he's showing he's still too much of like a one read quarterback.
Yep.
And the Humphrey one was just a bad throw. Didn't really give Bourne much of a chance to catch it, and that sealed the deal. And that's the one he got hurt on, unfortunately. This wasn't a good game. He made a lot of really good plays. He even ran one in, rushing touchdown, but didn't throw any passing touchdowns. Had a good, like, efficient day for the most part, but as much as he kept him in the game, he took him out of it with those picks. So I have to put him in the duds category.
I'm so torn on Mac Jones for the same reasons. I mean, he had a couple of really, really great plays. That run was, I mean, he had turned into a mobile quarterback for, I think, maybe the entire third quarter with how much he was running. Looked good there. Had a really good back shoulder throw to Devontae Parker, I think, down the sideline. That was an excellent pass by him. Again, I like two of those. This is where you and I differ. I think two of those interceptions, I don't really put it. The last it's, you don't have to throw that ball, but I mean, the pressure's there. Cole Strange got blown right by, so he's just trying to get rid of it, make a play. The end zone pick, like I said, I put that more on Parker. You can see it in the Phil Perry put out a good video of Mac Jones, I think calling an audible, touching the helmet, and, you know, a couple guys down to his right know the play, but Devontae Parker afterwards kind of looked at him with his hands up, and then obviously the broadcast caught Jones kind of flipping out on the sideline and saying, I think people reading his lips was like, it's effing cover four. So like, I put that more on Parker, not knowing the route than anything else. But then again, like you said, bad plays, the almost pick to Patrick Queen was like inexcusable. And again, do you put that on Jones? Do you put that on the play calling of what are you throwing a pass to the flat to Damian Harris in the red zone?
Like, well, it was Bynes.
Was it Bynes? I thought it was Queen that he did. Bynes. Okay. So
yeah.
No, you're talking about the interception. The one I'm talking about is the one that Queen dropped.
Oh, okay.
Like, again, the play call in the red zone.
I thought you were mixing up linebackers.
No, the play, again, and that's, we'll talk about the play calling a little bit later. Just the fact that, again, you continue to throw to running backs on the reds in the goal line instead of your two big tight ends. But I don't know. It was such a weird day for Mac Jones. Like, I contemplated putting him in the duds side of things, but like, he had some good moments, he had some bad moments, and like you said, he gets hurt, and that kind of throws everything out the window.
Yeah, I think just like, this is a little nitpicky from a practicality standpoint. If you're pressured, you should just never, ever throw
just,
it. Into the
yeah, don't just chuck it up.
You can't. You can't see. Just you're better off taking the sack, honestly.
Yeah. Doing what Brady does and throw it at somebody's ass or something, or just kind of chuck and duck the thing. Like, But yeah, I don't just, know. It's
I don't
it's
know.
A weird.
My big thing for him overall still is he's too much of a one read quarterback. I think he has his mind made up before he needs to.
Yep.
And he needs to stop that. So
think about it, yeah. Go through your progressions
through his,
and
yeah, go through his progressions and you know see the field a little better sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think he rushes things when he doesn't necessarily need to. But I think he's a second year quarterback. He's not going to be perfect. So
yep, these things happen. On to my number one, we'll get to yours because it's a consensus one that I – or we can just do yours, get it out of the way because I already said my piece on him. You had Nelson Agholor as yours. Anything else that you saw that I didn't touch on from Agholor?
No. It's really just the fumble. Like, yep. The fumble was
– it's a killer. Like, they were driving again, was making the game interesting, and then you cough that up, and it, again, 2 weeks
yeah.
or two fumbles in 3 weeks. Like, you can't be doing that when you're – already iffy to begin with. Like, you were down on, you know, people were down on you last year with such a piss poor performance, and now, like, just a bad look.
One of the things that bugged me the most was it was the kick return by Duvernay. He ran back for a little bit, like probably 30-40 yards, and like there's just like a very clear holding against Matthew Slater that he was not happy about after the game that they didn't call it, that I think, you know, really could have impacted the game in a positive way for the Patriots, but they didn't see it, so that sucks.
That's not good. My number one, Doug, I don't want to skip over this really quick because I forgot about it almost. I had Isaiah Wynn again, maybe nitpicking, but allowed a sack, had a holding penalty and an illegal formation penalty. 3 weeks so far on the season, he's committed 4 penalties, 2 holds, an illegal formation, and 1 false start. 2 weeks in a row, he's committed 2 penalties. Like, we talked about it. Isaiah Wynn, just such a – he's a question mark. I don't know what else to say about him anymore. Like, you need him because you don't really have a ton at the right tackle position, but he sucks. Like, he is literally only good for dumb penalties, it seems like, because he really can't do anything else. And now it's up to Brian, or it's Brian Hoyer, you know, has to luck out to try to get protected by this guy, because it's just, it hasn't been good this season for him. And again, you can't keep committing these dumb penalties when your offense is already as bad as it is.
No, you cannot. I do not like Isaiah Wynn. Lose.
Yep. There's a reason why. But again, I don't know what else they have at right tackle. Maybe they elevate Marcus Cannon off the practice squad and throw him out there. Like, I don't know how much better that is of an option, but that's where we're at right now. We'll just try anything with the direction this season has turned, as we kind of turn more towards just the biggest takeaways from the game. Obviously, the elephant in the room, the big one, is the health of Mac Jones. As we said, can't even get through 3 games, can't even get to week 4 to, you know, face the Packers. Because he is going to be out with a high, or it's not official yet. I love that Bill Belichick during the press conference today is still saying, you know, there's a chance that he might play, but if he didn't practice today, so didn't meet with the media. I think it was Brian Hoyer that was the one fielding questions. So that's kind of telling of, you know, who's going to be the quarterback going into Sunday. Your thoughts on Mac Jones? There's a lot of stuff that's come out that says, you know, he's taking it day by day. The Patriots want to take it day by day. There's some reports saying that, you know, he's going to be out for a couple months. The Patriots want it to be a couple weeks. He's getting a second opinion from the guy that I think did Kevin Durant's Achilles surgery back in 2019 and did J.C. Jackson's ankle surgery. So there's a lot of reports coming out there, a lot of conflicting ones. What are your overall thoughts on Mac Jones? And if you were the Patriots, how would you be handling him? Do you want him to play on Sunday? Do you want to rush him back, or do you want to have him take his time? I think the answer is pretty easy, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how he plays in the next like 4 weeks minimum. Like, anytime I think of a high ankle sprain, I automatically think 4 to 6 minimum. And that's probably what it's going to end up. Like, I've seen reports that there's a chance like he doesn't play till after Halloween, which would line up like the 4 to 6 range timeline.
Yep.
Just don't rush him back. Like, I don't want this to turn into a thing. We've seen a couple bad ankle injuries with quarterbacks in the past. Like Trey Lance recently, Dak Prescott took him out for a season. Trey Lance, ankle injury out for the season. They're not worth fucking with QBs. Just to let him take his time to get back all the time he needs, because we don't want this to become a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the big thing too, is Jimmy Stewart, the producer for Vlogger Maz, had an interesting tweet that I don't know if you had any thoughts on. One of the Rosenthal tweets that said, you know, the Patriots are trying to figure out what they wanted to do, and Jones was getting a second opinion. And Jimmy Stewart's quote tweet was, the Patriots and Mac Jones are in a disagreement about how to move forward. Patriots want him to get back as soon as possible, and he's hesitant to their guidance and wants to proceed with caution. Second opinion, Pat's timeline is 4 weeks max. Mac is comfortable waiting 6 to 8 if needed. I'm with you. Like, with as bad as his offense has looked, I know Matt said the stat the other day that Mac Jones technically is the worst quarterback in the NFL, I think, when it comes to passer rating. Again, I think that goes into how bad the offense is being coached and how just inept it looks at times. It's not going to get any better, I think, especially going in Green Bay, who's got a really good defense. And like you said, these ankle injuries linger. You don't want, with the protection he's had this season. Greg Bedard had a great comment the other day on Flower and Maz where he said Mac Jones has had more surgeries or more x-rays after games than the Patriots have wins, because obviously he had the x-ray after the Dolphins game. Yeah. And then has this one after the Ravens game and is, like we said, not going to be out. So I get where the Patriots are coming from. Like, if you can, it's the sport of football is if you can play, you can play. But like, this is, like you said, an injury that you don't want to mess around with, especially with how bad they've looked and just the ineptitude that they've had of protecting him. Like, why would you put him back out there to see if this happens again? Like, God forbid Cole Strange misses a tackle or Trent Brown doesn't want to play football that day and just whiffs on a couple of tackles. Like, it's not worth getting Jones killed more than he already has this season. So play Hoyer going into Green Bay, take the loss, take the beating, and get Jones back healthy. Like, it just seems like too easy of a decision. I don't even know why they're contemplating rushing him back.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the easier part of your schedule right now, too.
That, too. Yeah, you got a bunch of easy games coming up. Absolutely.
You need to be patient with this. Mm-hmm. There's no need to rush him back.
I'm glad we're in agreement on that, because it's ridiculous. I'm glad you brought up the schedule, too. I mean, there are some teams that have looked like Detroit's a formidable opponent, I think, now. But, like, you should be able to compete against the Lions with Brian Hoyer. You should be able to beat the Bears. The Bears look like the worst, like, I know you picked them to go winless, like, and they stole one, a couple wins on you, but like, that's a team that should be going winless. Like, that team is horrible.
Yeah. I mean, they're so bad. Justin Fields has completed like 23 passes.
Yeah. I think he's got like 200 yards in three games so far, something ridiculous. That
those games just don't make sense. Like, it's the most nonsensical two wins ever. Mm-hmm. Like, but this year has been goofy. So, I mean, yep. Whatever, but, where are we in the outline?
The other kind of takeaway that I had, I'm sure you can throw your two cents into this as well, because it's some stuff we talked about that the Patriots just didn't do again. The play calling and just the decision-making as a whole on Sunday with a couple of big things. The first one, again, because it's glaring, Lil Jordan Humphrey playing way more snaps than Kendrick Bourne once again. Humphrey played 54 of the offensive snaps. That was at 82%. The only wide receiver with more than that was Devontae Parker, who played 64. Kendrick Bourne played just 18 offensive snaps. And again, it seemed like every time he was out there, Mac Jones was going his way. So again, that's pretty telling if you ask me. Humphrey in the game playing the second most amount of snaps for a wide receiver. Zero catches, one target. Kendrick Bourne playing the least, had four catches on five targets for 58 yards. Catches, and second most yards. Mac Jones clearly wants him out there, and the Patriots continue to go with a guy that I've heard people describe. I think it was Zoe that said it was another N'Keal Harry that is only out there to block and do nothing else. I don't get it. I don't get why Kendrick Bourne is still in the doghouse. I don't get with how bad the offense has looked and how much you need speed and playmakers, why arguably your best one of those is on the bench, especially in a day where you don't have Jacoby Myers. Like, I don't know if they're trying to be cagey or something and put Humphrey out there to fuck with teams, but like, again, we've said it for 3 weeks now. Kendrick Bourne's the move, and they just continue to not do it.
Yeah, that's another thing, like, with Myers that's remarkable, like, that they put up 26 points without him.
That too, yep.
It's kind of under the radar. But, yeah, it just continues to not make sense. You're giving him so many more snaps, and you're barely using him. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't at all. I don't like it. Still don't like it, believe it or not. Newsflash.
Yeah, this is not. The grass is still green, the sky is still blue, and we still don't understand why Lil Jordan Humphreys is playing over Kendrick Bourne.
It's so stupid. Just cut Miles Bryant too.
Like, that, yeah, I could have very easily put that in there, or just take him off of punt returns, because the guy is clearly afraid of the football coming at him. Like, I don't get why they continue to, like, hey, he's going to cost you a game sooner or later down the road. If you can keep these games close and he muffs one that ends up go, because he's gotten lucky 2 weeks in a row now, like, it's only a matter of time before his luck runs out.
Fucking brutal.
It is. Then you had just a couple other things too for me. There was moments throughout this game, and again, it comes back to Matt Patricia being your de facto offensive coordinator. The idiotic play calling on a couple of plays. You're 3rd and 9 in the first quarter. You need 9 yards. You dump the ball over the middle to Ramondre Stevenson for 6. 3rd and 9 in the second. again, you need 9 yards and you run the ball with Damian Harris. I don't know if I've ever seen a team do that. Maybe you're trying to completely catch the defense off guard, but that didn't work. And then the very next play, 4th and 3, you have a pass that goes behind the line of scrimmage to Kendrick Bourne for no gain. And then a 1st and 2 in the third, you have that Mac Jones attempt in the red zone to Damian Harris. And that was the one, obviously, Patrick Queen almost picked off. I don't know, again, and this can go into one of the other points, too, is just the usage of the tight ends. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, for the most part, in this game, non-existent. I don't get the play calling. I don't get the decision-making. I don't know if you have anything, any miraculous thoughts of why these things are happening and why, you know, they're deciding to do these things. Again, the big one for me was the 3rd and 9 run. Like, that's inexcusable. No offensive coordinator with a brain would call that play.
It's just stupid. Like, nothing I have to add there.
Okay.
I mean, the tight end thing is, it's even stupider. Like,
Hunter Henry has, I think, 3 catches on the season and 5 targets and, like, 12 yards.
At this point, I'm hoping the Raiders keep losing. McDaniels gets fired and comes back. Like, so we have...
Now, he's already had a closed-doors meeting, so that might happen sooner rather than later. Like, that's kind of...
In the players only. So.
Yeah, I saw that today, too. That's a little jarring 3 weeks into the season. Like, talk about your team kind of questioning everything.
I think he's lost, like, 11 games in a row as head coach now, so...
That would not surprise me.
So, I saw something like that. I might be wrong, but... I'm so sick. Like, what the fuck? Like, we're paying a huge portion of the payroll to our tight ends, and they have like 8 total catches between the two of them in 3 games. So
insane.
Like, it's way too low. Like,
we've been saying it for
get it
for years too. The team that was like known for Gronk and Hernandez, Gronk and Bennett, like the
Gronk and Tim Wright. Gronk was so good, he got double covered, and Tim Wright had like 6 or 7 touchdowns.
That's true.
Like,
yeah,
50 receiving yards.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. The team that beat people over the head with 2 tight end sets have completely gone away from that. When you have when they signed them, they were 2 of the better tight ends in the league. Like, and now you just the Hunter Henry one really just screws with me. The guy was an absolute beast last year, and you just haven't used him at all this year. And I think it was Zoe again that said he's more blocking this season because the offensive line has been so bad. And obviously the Patriots don't have a fullback on the roster. That kind of takes away from his passing ability. But, like, again, that's mismanagement of the roster and just, again, the idiotic decision-making.
Ryan, when you have one of the top playmaking tight ends in the league, you have to turn him into a blocking tight
end. You do. That's true. That's his specialty. Yeah, catching the ball and scoring points is not what you want him to do. You're not paying him $12 million a year to do that. You're paying him to knock a guy off a block or two.
Were you thinking of Mark Andrews as well?
Yeah, I was going to say this because, I mean, he kind of could see it coming when Duggar was ruled out that. This was from Mark Daniels. In the 2 games he's played, opposing quarterbacks are 1 for 3 for 8 yards on targeting Kyle Duggar in coverage. Against Pat Freiermuth, Duggar was 0 for 2 in coverage. He was missed yesterday. Of course, this tweet came out on Monday. He was missed yesterday when it came to covering Mark Andrews and helping with Lamar Jackson. Andrews was unstoppable, 8 receptions, 13 targets, 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. His first half, he had 5 for 55 and 2 touchdowns. The Lamar Jackson thing, we talked about this too, which I found amazing. And we talked about, you know, maybe how do you stop Lamar Jackson? And I brought up the stat that was, you don't probably blitz him because the Dolphins got destroyed when they blitzed him in that game. This was from Next Gen Stats. Lamar Jackson was blitzed on 49% of his dropbacks and the Ravens 37-26 victory over the Patriots. Jackson threw 3 touchdown passes against the blitz for a 2nd straight game. And another stat had him at 11 for 12 for 127 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think one was a rushing touchdown. That was against the blitz as well. So again, it all just comes back to just the idiotic coaching. You don't do anything to stop the 2 best players on the opposing team. Quite literally, Jackson and Andrews ran wild all game long. I just don't, again, the Duggar injury was a big one, but you don't do anything. You know Lamar Jackson's a mobile quarterback. You know he's going to beat you with his legs. You got to try to keep him in the pocket, and they didn't. They continuously blitzed him, and it came back to bite him in the ass.
Yeah, sadly, this was predictable. No Kyle Duggar, no one to cover Mark Andrews. He just went bananas. Like, with how productive his first half was, like, I was expecting, like, 49 targets. Like, he's
the way it was going, yeah.
Like, they could not do anything. It got to the point where they're giving him shovel passes in the red zone to score touchdowns for fun. Like,
yep, just for shits and giggles. I'm shocked he didn't get over 100 yards. After watching that game, I would have thought 100% he went for 10 and 100. Like, just like you said, the volume of targets and catches he was getting. Like,
ridiculous. But yeah, Lamar was MVP. Lamar, too, is just way too easy for him practically the whole game. Like,
I might want to pay that guy.
early in the season, yeah, of course, but early in the season, like the pass rush was good. Like they were getting through the line, but they just couldn't catch him. Jalen Mills in particular had one like absolutely pathetic tackle attempt on him that I just laughed at.
Sounds like Jalen Mills in a nutshell. Yep.
Yeah, they could get through the O line, especially early, and they still couldn't catch Lamar, which is, you know, easier said than done, but like it just wasn't good enough on the pass rush besides really Dietrich Wise. Like Matt Judon didn't have a good game. I just thought you just need way better. And like I said, it's easier said than done against Lamar, but it was just really hard to watch him carve you up and Mark Andrews carve you up. It was just a pretty disheartening game.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were in it for a lot of the game.
Well, that's like, what I mean. That was what's so weird about this game. Like, if there's a positive you can take away from it, again, I think it runs right back into a negative because the quarterback is out now. But like the offense had moments where, you know, they were moving the ball a little bit, things looked good. And then, like you said, they threw the ball away, they turned it over. Like that's obviously what doing other than Jackson and Andrews just torching them. Like the fact that that happened and they were still in the game is, again, that you want to take that away as a positive, but then you look and you have the turnovers, you have all the miscues, and it's like, all right, well, how much of a positive can you really take away from this game? Because now you have to face, again, it's a weird game coming up. You're taking, and we'll get to it in a second. We'll do the NFL run through in a moment. But just quickly on the Packers before we jump into that later, like you're facing a team that isn't, you know, where it's supposed to be offensively because they have injuries. So like, you know, maybe it's a team you can go blow for blow with, but then their defense is great. You don't have a quarterback going into this game. So it's a weird situation for that. Like I said, we'll get to it in a little bit. But any your thoughts, across, unless you have anything else about the Ravens, we'll jump into the thoughts from week three across the NFL.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to add. Just
okay.
Week three stuff, I guess, at this point. And, God, I mean, this game was okay, like, in the second half, I guess, but I had a really tough time staying awake through this Steelers-Browns game.
It was I caught the first half of it before I had to go to work. I mean, it's just – this, I don't know how the Steelers are going to go through this year because Mike Tomlin backed it up and said, you know, Trubisky's still the quarterback. I don't get how you're going to go through a season and say that because of how just inept he's looked at times. Like that offense is horrible. The amount of playmakers they have on it and Trubisky just can't get in the ball is insane. And then for Cleveland, like it was the Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper and David Njoku show. Like David Njoku was excellent. 9 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown. Cooper went over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. And Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb, rushed for 113 yards and a TD. Like Browns aren't as bad as maybe people thought they were going to be when you learned Deshaun Watson was going to be suspended for the first 11 to 12 games, whatever that suspended. It was 11, right? I don't know why I always want to say 12. I don't know. But yeah, the Browns haven't looked as bad. And again, that's a team that maybe at the start of the season, we thought the Patriots might be able to hang with no Deshaun Watson. Now that game coming up on the schedule might be more of a question mark than we thought. Cause the Browns have been pretty formidable so far after their first three games.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll make my
assessment. Still holding out hope that, yeah. There. Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it could be a lot worse. That's really the situation as I see it.
Okay.
Speaking of things that are bad, Saints and Panthers, I mean, gross.
That was,
gross.
Yeah.
Besides Chris Olave, gross.
Yeah.
Carolina won it on defense. Chris Olave was awesome, and it's just – Baker Mayfield is so bad.
He's horrible.
Jameis Winston is bad. Like, it's gross game. Gross, gross, gross.
Mm-hmm. I got nothing to add other than the Olave thing. Like you said, Carolina's defense, excellent. 4 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, and a scoop and score on one of those fumbles. So they show something there, but that team is just still. And then now Christian McCaffrey's hurt again. I think he's dealing with an ankle or a hamstring or something. So be on the lookout for that too. And, you know, this is now the point in the season where Christian McCaffrey goes down for Carolina. So.
Yep. Indubitably.
Yep. Another Bears, gross game.
About,
yep. I
mean, stupidest 2-win team ever. But I mean,
yep.
Maybe you give 1 win to the Bears in rain, 1 win to Khalil Herbert because Khalil Herbert just took over the game once David Montgomery got hurt.
Yep.
It's a good day for young running backs. As you've noted here, Damian Pierce, first big breakout game, 20 carries, 80 yards and a touchdown. Herbert at 20 for 157 and 2 touchdowns. And yeah, Justin Fields is not good. He literally said it after the game, like, I put like trash. And yeah, he's
not at least good. He knows it. Yeah, at least he's honest. But that's what I mean. Like, they're 2-1, as you mentioned. And the stat that I found it was Justin Fields has thrown for 297 yards with two touchdowns through three games and four picks. Yeah. And they're 2-1 leading that division with the Packers. Like,
I remember wanting like feverishly to trade up for Justin Fields.
I did too. My buddy and I just talked about this the other night at work. We were like, remember sitting here hoping the Patriots were going to get Justin Fields and he kept falling and the Bears made that trade. And we were like, shit, there goes Justin Fields. It's like, yeah, that might not have been that shows how much we know about the draft and, you know, scouting and stuff like that. Cause that might've been a really bad pick if the Patriots were able to do that.
Yeah. Big yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs and Colts, the Colts win because nothing makes sense really, but credits.
This was one of the weirdest weeks in the NFL. Like, we had two excellent week one and two, and now this one, things kind of came crashing back to maybe normal a little bit, or some weird games, like you said, but kind of a meh week of football. It was like,
it was, and it's just classic how the Colts lose to the Jaguars, get shut out, and then beat the Chiefs.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, again, defense kind of
nasty.
Yeah, so the Jaguars are better than I joking there, but the Jaguars might be legit here. Like, they've looked really good. We'll get to that game in a little bit, but
yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce kind of lets the Chiefs down.
It's the story of the game, right? I think drops a touchdown, they lose by three. Like, maybe Patrick Mahomes wants out. He's fighting with his offensive coordinator. Like, maybe there's some turmoil in Kansas City. Who knows? Probably not, though.
Like, he wasn't the only player that fought with a coordinator. We'll get to that a little later.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Bills and Dolphins. Originally my moment of the week, but it's just how Josh Allen, the Bills, fumbled this game away.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, like, fumbled, like, two snaps. He lost the ball at one point. So three drops. Maybe he had another that I forgot, but honestly wouldn't surprise me if there were more that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Offense was really good. He started the game 15 for 17, 150 and two touchdowns. Looked like they were going to cruise, whether it was a close game or not, they were going to win. They were just playing really well. And they found a way to lose. They tried to go for some trickery at halftime and lose an opportunity for a field goal, which would have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can't get the ball down at the end to spike it. Partially because Stephon Diggs was lazy and didn't get out of Isaiah McKenzie's way, but I don't think they were getting that spike down either way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game they absolutely should have won and didn't. So that really bugged me from like a common sense standpoint, not because I root for the Bills, but like,
yeah,
it's just one of those things. I talk about it with situations in hockey all the time. Like, I can't believe they screwed things up so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't catch anything. I honestly did not catch anything other than the butt punt in this. And like, when that happens, like a team that happens to should not win a football game. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, you deserve to lose after that, but the Dolphins found a way. I didn't realize just first glance, seeing how close the score was, you would have thought it was a closer game in the stat sheet. But like you said, Buffalo dominated the entire game. Like, looking at the score sheet, first downs, they beat Miami 31-15. Time of possession, 40 seconds to 19 minutes and 20 seconds. Like, that's insane. The fact that you don't win a football game is in Buffalo when you have that much time of possession is ridiculous. But like you said, it comes down to mental errors. They beat him in rushing yards. Miami beat him in rushing touchdowns. That was the difference. Passing yards was ridiculous. 400-186. Third down conversions, Buffalo 11 for 18, Miami 3 for 8. Fourth down conversions, Buffalo 2 for 3. Miami didn't attempt one. Josh Allen accumulates 447 yards of Buffalo's 497 total yards of offense, 400 passing and 47 rushing. Like, everything about this stats and everything I just read off screams that Buffalo should have won this game. The Dolphins somehow found a way to win, like you said, and it was mainly in part to Buffalo's late mistakes. With that known, Miami's 3-0. Do you consider them a 3-0 team? Are they that good, or do you think they just kind of escaped with one here and got super lucky?
Yeah, they definitely escaped the one here. It's one of those games where the Bills lost it more than Miami won it to me.
Okay. So, I think that's absolutely fair to say. What are your thoughts on the Tua situation? I saw a lot of people that were like, yeah, he does not have a leg and back injury.
He was concussed.
Full-blown concussion. I agree with you. Yep.
He legit just stumbled. Like,
yep.
Randomly stumbled. Like, that doesn't just happen with nothing.
No, you don't get up, take a couple, and then even when he got up, he was looking around like he didn't even know where he was. Like, that's clear-cut, not a, like the Dolphins described it, a leg and back injury. Like,
yeah, bullshit.
Full-on concussion. Like, and I always questionable to play this week again. They're going with a leg and back injury, but like, rightfully so for the NFL to investigate their concussion protocol thing, because that was as iffy as iffy gets.
Most definitely. Speaking of injuries, a couple bigger running back injuries, hopefully for their sakes, not long term, in the Lions and Vikings game. Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Swift both banged up a little bit. The Vikings claw back in this one, as you have in the outline here. The Lions look like the Lions blowing a 24-14 lead. And the Vikings come back to win. So there's that. The Lions, you know, maybe they are human. Maybe they
come back down to earth. Yep.
Yeah. They're not just going to be awesome all year. You know, even though they lost week one, they've been putting up a lot of points the first couple weeks. He has a big day on the ground. Jamal Williams picked up the slack when needed for the Lions, but that wasn't enough. Now it's just a situation for me personally where I'm looking towards Alexander Mattison this week because I have him on my dynasty team as well as Cook. So
I have Williams on my fantasy team, so I'm kind of hoping I think they already said Swift's going to miss a couple weeks. So
yeah,
Williams becomes the de facto starter, and hopefully that can help me get out of an 0-3 hole because I just can't seem to get any sort of luck when it comes to fantasy football and can't buy a win right now.
Yeah, my classic, the week I have the least amount of points is the week I finally win. Instead of the previous 2 weeks, I have the second most points anyone in the league and lose.
Dominated, didn't you? And you didn't have a win, so that's...
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
In my dynasty, I lost by 3 points, so that sucks.
It's a killer.
Tough, but... Mm-hmm. Like we clued out earlier, another player coordinator fiasco with Quinnen Williams and whoever, I don't know what the guy's name is.
I don't know
is.
What the, yeah. Out,
but like, Quinnen Williams looked like he was actually turning into the Hulk.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a guy that you'd want to piss off because holy crap, was he angry.
He can go from blessing himself after he sneezes to on live TV to almost turning into a superhero.
And,
wanting to smash.
Scary, scary man. Yeah, yep.
Oh my god, like he was holy shit, man. Like he like legit scary to watch, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, oh geez.
Didn't Salah say too he like loves the fire? I'm like, I don't know if I'd love one of my best defensive players and defensive.
He's that was yeah, that was the max.
Yeah, oh my god.
Holy
talk crap. About the shine on that dome. Holy crap. God, but
I hope it doesn't reflect off like a satellite or something in the sky.
Oh Jesus, yeah, it'd be bad. Back on the game though, talk about a get right game for the Bengals.
Like, yeah, they needed this.
Absolutely needed this. Yep, you start off 0-2 and you look on your calendar and ooh, you got a matchup with the Jets.
Legatron wasn't enough. Legatron was everything
that was ridiculous. Yep. Yep. Tried his best. 4-for-4 on field goals, 2-for-50, 2-for-40, like still not enough.
Interesting thing about this too is like think, oh, the Bengals win. Jamar Chase must have had a good game. Not really.
No, it was the Tyler Boyd show.
Sauce Gardner, man, is living legit. Up to it. He's got the sauce.
No.
Very good. Ooh. Like, very good. I mean, it was right there.
The first time that joke has been made.
Yeah, he's awesome. He gave Jamar Chase fits. Could have ended up worse for my team, but I won, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Know who things are not okay for are the Raiders. Players only meeting, Josh McDaniels having to sit down with Mark Davis, supposedly. Not good. The Raiders fall by 2 to the Titans, who just got speed bagged by the Bills. Derrick Henry had a decent game, bounced back a little bit. The Raiders are in bad shape.
Yeah, I can't imagine going into a 1-on-1 meeting with the Raiders owner. I can never remember his name. I don't know why.
Mark Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mark Davis. Like, that has to be one of the funniest things. Just poor Josh McDaniels for that. And, like, like I said earlier, a player's only meeting 3 weeks in. Like, that's – again, it goes back to me. Like, I get maybe they thought highly of Josh McDaniels. They obviously had to hire him as their head coach. But, like, that Bisaccia guy was – shit, he led him to the playoffs. I still don't understand. Like, he probably would have been a better option. That team obviously, and they seem to like playing under that guy. So I completely forgot he's the special teams coach, I think, with Green Bay, isn't he right now? So, or he came in.
So.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't know why they let that guy go because it is not looking great. Devontae Adams can't seem to get on the same page with Derek Carr. Maybe that's not the most surprising thing. But 5 receptions for 10 targets in this game, 36 yards.
San Diego State guys.
Yeah, you'd think the two college guys would be able to figure it out, but who knows. So, the Raiders might be in trouble. Like, not a great start. I think they got the Chiefs coming up this week, and then this Denver or vice versa. So they two more tough opponents coming up, and could well be looking at 0-5.
Every Denver game at this point is just going to be like
the toss up.
It's going to be an under game. Yep. But you know, they're missing Hunter Renfro too, which doesn't help. So
we'll
get him back. He was concussed. We'll see. Not looking so good for the Raiders. The AFC West has been weird. Mm-hmm. So that's just classic for it being a goofy season to start. Because that
yep, absolutely
stacked. The Eagles. Speaking of teams that are stacked or you know, would be divisions,
looking like yeah,
Jalen Hurts is nasty. Yeah, he's in the elite tier now.
Mm-hmm.
He's really really good. Like, did not see this out of him this year, but he was automatic.
Yep,
and yeah, they just.
You thought he'd take a step forward because, like, obviously, it's just the progression of the quarterback and the position. But, like, the fact that he is so leaps and, but like, he's taking a Josh, oh, maybe it's too early to say this, but like a Josh Allen type of leap where it's like, holy crap, this is not the same guy it was from a year ago. Like, he is leaps and bounds better than the guy from the previous season. Like, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah, the chemistry with AJ Brown's been there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
After you know nothing from Devontae Smith in week one,
Devontae Smith's been phenomenal the last
2 weeks. The Eagles are very good. They're very good, and they showed it against the Commanders, who are not very good.
Carson Wentz, talk about coming back down to earth.
No revenge game for Carson Wentz.
He almost died. I don't know how he didn't. I didn't know he was sacked. Like, I didn't really see any of the game, so when I go into the box score and see he was sacked 9 freaking times – it's like, oh my god! At that point, you're trying to get your quarterback killed.
Yeah, motorcycle. Sorry. I hit my little audio jack here. I lost you in one ear, so if you saw a weird look on my face, though,
yeah, I was a little confused, but I figured it was something audio wise.
Yeah, but yeah, the Eagles are good, looking like Super Bowl contenders, but we'll see how that holds up. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars are good, which is weird to say. They beat the Chargers 38-10. Trevor Lawrence looks great, which I didn't expect.
So I was gonna say, so not a bust then? You walking that?
I'm walking it
walking
back
that back. Okay.
I need to see a little more though.
A little more. Did beat a pretty good defense and beat down a pretty good defense. Like this game was never close.
They don't have JC Jackson.
That's but I mean I did Bosa did get hurt halfway through the game, so they lost him. Like still had Khalil Mack, so he's still there.
It's been 3 games. I need to see it on a consistent basis.
Okay. They got somebody. They got the Eagles this week, I think. So that might be your test. Yeah, that'll be your true test right there.
Everybody's talking about James Robinson, about his Achilles injury rehab, and they're right to do so. He's just been really, really good ever since he's come back. Tough game for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Like, it's one of those games where they were encouraging him to sit this one out, but he's got too much pride, I guess. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but like, this was a game to sit out.
Even if this was a
closer game against the Jaguars. This was a game to sit out.
Well, that was my big thing too, is this, like I said, it was never close in this game. And he, again, maybe it's a pride thing for him and kudos to him if that's the case. Maybe it's a toughness thing, same thing, but like, this is on Staley too. Like maybe that's a comment I should take back, is that Brandon Staley is going to win coach of the year. Cause he's an idiot. Like this type of game as late as it got and Justin Herbert's still out there slinging the ball in the third and the fourth quarter, like take the guy out. He's obviously dealing with cracked rib, with a huge rib injury. He got hit in the game and it was like a struggle for him to get back up. The broadcast caught it, you know, him wincing and grimacing in pain after getting hit on one of his throws. Like take the guy out of the game. You're not playing for anything at this point. You're down 28. Like have the guy survive into the next game. Like you said, he probably should have sat out entirely because it was just not. Did make one great throw deep downfield. Other than that, like you could tell he was just hindered throughout the entire game.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And not having Keenan Allen doesn't help either.
Yep, that does not help.
I might have him back this week against the Texans. Rams and Cardinals. I didn't really like.
I caught like none of this game. Yeah.
But like Cooper Kupp's touchdown was so funny because like he actually looked like. What's like someone I can. He looks like I imagine like you know the army men in Toy Story,
How they kind of
like I imagine how he moved like he was moving like one of them or something like it was weird. He had this very like coordinated movement like he was a robot or something.
Maybe he is.
He probably is. Let's be honest. But yeah, the Rams pull it out. It wasn't like a decisive win, but the Rams pulled out and Kyler Murray threw the ball 58 times.
That's insane. And still got nothing done. Like, that's,
it's so funny. Like, when he airs the ball deep, I feel like he's going to fall over every single time. It's like, it's tuckers like him out.
Too heavy for him to throw the ball. Like I said last week, you must be an Xbox man, because I think you can probably speak better than I can. The Xbox, they got the COD beta this week or this past weekend. So Kyler Murray, like you said, 58 times throwing the ball, but no touchdowns, 77.8 rating, two sacks, not a great performance. You know, again, the 314 yards doesn't look terrible, but nothing to show for. So maybe he was, you know, maybe again, easy joke to make, a little too focused on the new Call of Duty.
Most definitely seems that way. Seems possible. Falcons, Seahawks, two bad teams, but it was again, honestly, kind of decent game.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota, like, he had moments in this game, but like, he's just not good. He's just like,
no, it's that's a Cam Newton-esque filler quarterback. Move on to the next season. Like, I'm not saying like bad Cam Newton, but just like a 1 year type of thing where it's like, all right, we'll get this guy who won't be here next year. He's just a fill in for, they have Desmond Ridder, right? He's probably going to be the guy that'll take over. So it's kind of, like I said, a 1 year stopgap type of guy.
Yeah, it seems that way. Geno Smith had some moments this game too. You know, he got the ball to DK and Lockett, but it's honestly a better game than I would have expected. So I don't really have like a whole lot to add on it though. It's like,
no, other than
stood out to me crazy in it.
Yeah. Other than Cordarrelle Patterson kind of single handedly willing the Falcons to win this game, like with the 141 yards and a touchdown. Like, nothing else too crazy happened. London had another good game, you know, solid performance from him. He's kind of looking like a star in the making almost, but
how did Pitts do?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if they decided to neglect him again or
five catches, 87 yards.
Oh, okay. So maybe there's your first breakout game for Kyle Pitts. Like 2 years in, we're saying that, like, I don't know. At least they're using him. That's a positive, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Packs and Packers. I almost said Packs.
Packers and
like
Packers.
I would say Bucks, like shortening it from Buccaneers. I don't know why. Packers and Bucks. This game was sad.
I maybe it was for fantasy football purposes, but I found myself watching the Jags and Chargers game way more than I was watching the Packers and Bucks game. They were both on at the same time.
This was sad.
It was expected. Like, I mean, both Rodgers and Brady had literally almost nothing to throw to. Like, Romeo Doubs finally had a breakout game, of course, the week after I dropped him from my fantasy team, which is great to see. Brady had what? He targeted, I think, Russell Gage like 15 times or something ridiculous. He was really the only guy he was throwing to. He got the corpse of Russell Cole Beasley Gage running around out there. Like, this was not an entertaining game in the slightest until the end, because, of course, it's Brady, and, you know, he has to make things interesting right down to the wire.
Yep.
You talk about men.
We get the 2-point conversion. So
yeah, because they took a delay of game penalty for some reason at the like. Talk about the Bills shooting themselves in the foot. Like, Bucks had every chance to tie this game up, and they just decide to sleep on the ball, I guess, or whatever. And then apparently Aaron Rodgers caught their play on the video board, because Aaron Rodgers has to be, you know, smarter than everybody else and let you know it at the end of the post game.
Yeah, of course.
Nope.
I saw someone say, Rodgers versus Brady, loser has to call their family. And
oh, like, Jesus. Oh, it's terrible.
It's a terrible joke, but
true though.
Yeah.
It's but terrible.
Tough joke, but
yeah.
I mean, this game was brutal. 49ers and Broncos. I've never struggled to stay awake.
I turned this game off in the second quarter. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. I was hoping Cortland Sutton didn't do anything, because Brady's comeback really put me in the hole when it came to fantasy football. Like, I needed Cortland Sutton to not get anything. And as soon as he had, I think, like his third or fourth catch, I lost. So I'm like, that's it. I can't watch this game anymore, because I just lost fantasy football. And I don't want to watch these two just completely inept teams win a game like 3-2 and 11-10 to the final. Like, it was a disgusting football game. I missed Jimmy G full of Dan Orlovsky. That would have been the only interesting thing about this game. Like,
yeah, I didn't even know what that was about at first. So
I didn't either. I saw him trending, and I'm like, what does that mean? And then I had to, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He stepped out of the back of the end zone. Like,
an 8-point turnover for Jimmy, and points was 8 out of 21 total points in this game.
Yep.
This game was stupid.
Like, you got to wonder if that will ever be done in football again, an 8-point turnover.
Yeah, holy, I don't know if it'll be done in that fashion.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson sucks.
That whole team's in trouble. I mean, their offense is so bad. Like, and it's crazy because they have playmakers up and down the lineup. I mean, they don't use, I was going to say Jamal Williams, but it's Javonte Williams. Like, he doesn't, I feel like, get used enough. Russ is doing nothing for that offense. Again, maybe it's the Denver effect. He's not used to it yet, but I don't know. That team's in trouble, I think. And again, we've talked about the head coach kind of being inept. And I keep saying inept. I got to come up with a better adjective. But he's an idiot too. Like, that whole Denver team, again, 2-1 team, they're kind of like the Bears. It's like, you're 2-1, but you really shouldn't be.
Yeah. This season has just been stupid.
Like, this week definitely. Well, like I said, the first 2 weeks, at least you had super entertaining games. Like, everyone was in it. You had upsets left and right. Now this week, it's like, oh, these games, like maybe three of them were decent to watch. Other than that, everything else was like a slog and just horrible games and stupid moments and plays like in this one.
I don't understand football. Football's stupid.
Like, yep. And you followed it up with this Monday Night Football game. I didn't even bother watching this. Again, I missed it because of work and just had no interest in watching. Again, the Giants came in 2-0, but they were kind of a fraud 2-0 team. You saw that. Now Cooper Rush, did the Cowboys go back to Dak Prescott? Cooper Rush is 2-0 on the season, and Prescott's 0-1.
They could give us Cooper Rush.
They could. That would be nice. I would rather watch him, I think, than have to watch whatever Brian Hoyer is about to uncork on Sunday. But
dude, like, Cooper Rush has earned himself
a starter years job.
Backup
money. Okay.
He'll get backup money.
He's been solid.
He's fine. No, yeah. Nope. Like, Dallas is good on the ground, as you've noted here. Saquon looks awesome. I mean, which is great to see because his one big season, he was amazing, but it was just he's one of those guys you never knew if he's going to return to form. And he has. He's great. He's great. But it wasn't enough for the Giants. CeeDee Lamb had one of the wilder drops.
Craziest catches. Yep. Oh, wildest drops. Gotcha.
No, the drop was crazy. Like,
I did not see the drop.
I can't believe he dropped it, but he was like, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, it's whatever.
He kind of tried to brush
it off. We still won the game.
Yeah. I mean, Cowboys and Giants, gross. Gross, but I thought it was going to be even grosser. So I'll take what we got because it was an okay game. Picked up a little bit in the second half, but nothing super noteworthy from this game.
All right. Yeah, like I said, I didn't see any of it. So,
which is, you know, what Trayvon Diggs does. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's week three. It was a weird one.
Yeah, hopefully week four gets it back on track and figures some things out. I don't know how weird you think this game's going to be because, like I said, these are two teams. So if we get into the Packers stuff real quick here before the end of the show, Packers, as you mentioned, come off a 14-12 win. Still don't have a ton going on offensively. I thought this was hilarious when I saw this doing the outline and sent it to you that the Patriots have averaged more points per game this season offensively than the Packers have. The Pats hit at 16.7. The Packers at 16 exactly. But this game, it's going to be one. Green Bay's defense, I think, is going to dominate this game. They're only averaging 15 points per game so far this season given up. 23.7 for the Patriots. That's kind of where the tail of the tape is. We're probably going to get Hoyer. Like I said, it was him and Zappe that practiced today. Jones didn't practice, even though Bill Belichick wants you to think he's day-to-day and that he's going to play maybe on Sunday, and we'll see. They're kind of in wait-and-see mode. Like you and I said earlier, just to kind of rehash what was already said. Hoyer's a smart play here, as much as we don't want to see that, because as much as we remember what Hoyer did in his last start with the Patriots, that Kansas City game where he just kind of forgot how to play football. And then NBC Sports Boston put it out there that he is 0 for his last 11 when it comes to the starting quarterback role in the NFL. His last win came back on October 2nd of 2016 when he was with the Bears. So that's, you know, great to look forward to there. He's still the right call here. I saw some people that said maybe you go with Zappe just to see what you have in him. You're too early into the season to do that. So I guess we sit here and we get ready for the Brian Hoyer experience because it's not something to get excited for. I don't know if you have any positive spin on it or anything else you wanted to add about, you know, maybe Mac Jones's injury or what, you know, your thoughts there.
It's Brian Hoyer. I'm not looking forward to this game at all.
No, well, that's what I mean, too. Like, I know we're kind of trying to quickly run through it here, but there's not a ton to talk about because, like, you don't get hyped for Hoyer. Like, it's Hoyer versus Aaron Rodgers. Like, Hoyer. That's just – yeah, again, is that his kid's name? I know people have been
– his name.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Look at his football reference page.
Is it? Why did I think that was his kid's name?
That's his name.
Why is it just coming out now, though? Like, why is it such a big deal? I guess I'm behind the times here. Just haven't been paying attention. But all right, so it's Axel Hoyer then against Aaron Rodgers, which is even funnier to think about. But yeah, these are two teams that come in with kind of pretty big substantial injuries. You know, Mac Jones is obviously going to be out. You don't know about Jacoby Myers. You don't know about Kyle Duggar. Jalen Mills, I think, showed up on the injury report today. The Packers have their own problems. Jair Alexander, I think, is dealing with, is it a quad or a hamstring for him? That's a pretty severe loss. Sammy Watkins was placed on IR before last week's game. So, you know, there's obviously problems there for the Packers. I think one of their rookie wide receivers is injured too. Is it Christian Watson?
Yep.
Okay, so he didn't play last week either, I don't think. That's why you had such a big week from Dubs. So this is going to be a disgusting game offensively, I think. I think you're probably going to see a lot in the run game from both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, and then Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, because these are two teams that have pretty solid 1-2 duos when it comes to running backs. Maybe you see the Patriots get the tight ends involved more. Like you said, Hunter Henry has 3 catches on the entire season for 28 yards. Jonnu Smith's been a little better, 7 for 58. But still nothing out of them. So is there anything you can add to this? You know, is there any, you know, players on Green Bay you're looking out for, you know, we want to keep an eye on, or just anything you can give to maybe get some people pumped up for this game?
On Green Bay's defense, I'm looking at Devondre Campbell. He had some big plays in the box game. Quay Walker has had a solid start. I think Rasul Douglas just doesn't get enough appreciation. I think when he came along last season, he really like made a name for himself. He's not like a leader or anything, but he's good. Definitely not a bad guy to have to rely on a little bit more if Jair Alexander is limited or doesn't play. Adrian Amos is solid at times. Eric Stokes can be good. They have guys that can get the job done. Like, this isn't like a unit that is like super scary in terms of names, but they have just a bunch of really good, solid guys across the board. And then you have guys like Rashawn Gary and Devondre Campbell in particular as two legit studs, and Jair Alexander, when you know he's at the top of his game, arguably like a top 3 corner in the game, but a guy that's dealt with injuries for a while. But I feel like every week the Packers just have like 3 or 4 receivers on the injury report and like a couple of them play. It's been a predictable shit show at the receiver position. Alan Lazard's not doing good in his promise of being the number 1 receiver in the NFL. He's got 2 touchdowns, but he's only got 6 receptions. So part of that is due to injury. But
I was going to say, you missed week 1, didn't you?
Yeah, this is an absolute trenches, in the trenches type of game. Jones and Dillon have both been solid, as have Harris and Stevenson. So it's going to be a gross game on the ground. Aaron Rodgers, like, I feel like every game this year is going to be like a solid game, like in terms of receptions, like completion percentage, but he's not going to be like blowing you away with yardage totals this year because he doesn't have good receivers. He had Davante Adams helping with that in the past.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think this is a game, like, it's crazy to say a game with Aaron Rodgers is one where you probably don't get bundled.
And that's what I mean. You and I both picked this. As like
I think Brian blowout is going to start the season the whole time,
probably like,
pretty much the whole game.
And that's what that's Kansas City game was, I think.
Yeah, I really think it's going to be enough to hang in, and I think this is just going to be a gross, ugly game, like pretty much every game has been this year, besides, you know, the Ravens game had some ugly moments, but like high scoring game, so you can't really call that one like an outright ugly game. But this one's going to be low scoring for sure, and I'm just. Nothing against Brian Hoyer or Axel Hoyer, but like I'm just not looking forward to this game really at all. Like
I have to look that up at the end of this.
But like it's really hard to get excited about an Aaron Rodgers-led team that it's like super lackluster, and Brian Hoyer-led Patriots team because Mac Jones is hurt. Hopefully Kyle Duggar is back, just because he's Kyle Duggar and I like watching him play football.
Helps the defense out a ton. Yep.
Would be huge, no matter how much you're throwing the ball. Because, you know, I also like watching him play football. He's good and, you know, he's reliable. But, yeah, I mean, it's just – it's going to be gross. Rodgers could see Brian Hoyer and be like, yeah, I want to end this game early at the same time. And they could get blown out. But, like, with the way the game's been going for the Packers this year, I don't see that happening unless they just run absolutely wild with Jones and Dillon. But I'm expecting a gross, low-scoring game.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. Like, I need to find another football game to watch. Hopefully there's another one on TV, because this is not going to be pretty by any means. Again, I think this is not going to be the blowout you and I predicted maybe at the start of the season when we did the first initial predictions, just because of how things have gone, but it's not going to be great. For the injury report, before we get into the predictions, from the Patriots website, so we're not going to have any mess-ups like last week where we have a guy that doesn't play for the team anymore on the injury report or anything like that.
I'm on probation from injury reports. For a
little bit. Yeah, you're on a one-week suspension from doing it. For the Patriots, did not participate today. No surprises here. Mac Jones and Lawrence Guy both left the game with injuries last week. Jones, of course, the ankle, Guy the shoulder. Lawrence Guy could be a big loss. You talk about it, the Packers run all over the Patriots. Like, if he doesn't play, that might be a pretty big possibility, because he's pretty solid in the middle when it comes to stopping the run game. For limited participation for the Pats, Joshua Bledsoe with a groin, Yodney Kajust with a thumb, Duggar with the knees. Not great to see Duggar on there still. Devon Godshaw with a back, Raekwon McMillan with a thumb, Jacoby Myers with a knee, Jalen Mills a hamstring, and Adrian Phillips with the ribs. For the Packers, did not participate. Guard slash tackle, is it Elgton Jenkins with a knee? All right. Caleb Jones with an illness, both did not participate. Limited participation, Jair Alexander with a groin. Could potentially be a big injury, again, if the Patriots did not have Brian Hoyer as their quarterback, so that, you know, the Packers might be able to escape by without Jair Alexander in this one. David Bakhtiari, I think it's Bakhtiari, thank you. I knew I said that wrong as soon as it came out, with a knee. AJ Dillon with a knee, that might be worth monitoring if he, you know, can't go in this one. Jonathan Garvin with a hip, Alan Lazard an ankle, Mercedes Lewis with a groin, and Christian Watson with a hamstring. Kind of another big one, as you said. Who will Aaron Rodgers be throwing the football to? We don't know yet. For predictions, though, I have it in here, you know, just again, because maybe there's a chance Mac Jones will play. I don't think so, but the Patriots seem to think so. So, again, with whatever Bill Belichick says, we'll wait and see. If it's Brian Hoyer, which it's going to be, the Packers win 23-9. I just don't think the Patriots have any chance of keeping this close. Big game for Nick Folk. If Mac Jones somehow plays, you hope he can get, you know, gut through the injury and the pain. Maybe keeps it a little closer. Packers 26, Patriots 13. It's a loss either way, because it's just, you know, the Packers, they struggle on offense, but the Patriots just have not really been able to put it together yet this season. So I think it's the Packers all the way. And they're home too, which makes it a much easier pick for Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going 19-13 Packers. It's just going to be gross
ground. It's not a football score.
Yeah, in the trenches, I don't like it. I am going to predict they get Hunter Henry involved, though, this week.
You got to hope. Like,
I'm saying 4 catches minimum for Hunter Henry.
That would be nice, seeing that he's only averaged a catch per game so far this year. Nothing
makes sense. So, like, with Brian Hoyer, and he's somehow going to have catches, like multiple catches, so I'm going for it. 4 minimum.
All right. I hope you're right, because I'd like to see something out of, again, the tight end you're paying big money to. Maybe they go back to the 2 tight end set finally, and you see both tight ends get involved in this game. I doubt it, but one can hope. Who knows? This could be a crazy game. Anything goes when Brian Hoyer is a starting quarterback. Like, for him, just remember how many timeouts you have, and don't do anything stupid that really costs you this game.
Yeah, don't. Please, don't. Yeah. Make this game watchable, please.
Mm-hmm. That too.
Yeah, certainly is. That is, oh man, it's really disheartening.
It is.
It's not going to be fun, but maybe they'll win. Maybe it'll just be a ground and pound game and they get a gross win. But I don't know. I'm not feeling super confident. But that's going to wrap it up for episode 113. Thank you so much for listening. The numbers have been crazy lately. I still can't believe it every week. But thank you so much, new and old listeners. We really appreciate you. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can leave reviews on Spotify and Apple. You can check us out on Twitch and YouTube, the full press coverage pages. You can check us out on TikTok, Salvaggio and Craddy. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Craddy. You can follow Ryan at Ryan_Salvaggio. And you can follow the show at Sal and Craddy Pod. Tune in every week. We record on Wednesday nights, drop our episodes early Thursdays, if you don't know. So tune in for those in the future. And until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, be nice to people, all that good stuff. If you're in the Hurricane Ian danger zone that is wreaking havoc, please stay safe, including Ian Glendon, who's down there, head of Full Press. I hope Ian stays safe as well as everybody down there. It's pretty crazy from the looks of things. So yeah, do what you got to do and be smart, because, you know, it sounds like it's going to be pretty crazy. So, you know, do all those good things, stay safe, and you know, power through the craziness, because I don't really know what else to say. I'm not really used to like hurricanes and shit. So
yeah, it's not something that we're very familiar with.
But. Yeah, I can't really add too much. But yeah, stay safe, stay healthy, be nice to people, all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you next week. Peace out.